Hello, everybody, and welcome to Good Friday 2020. I'm sure this is unlike any Good Friday that any of us have ever experienced, but then again, it probably is a time in which we're really hungry and searching for the Good Friday of 2,000 years ago. That said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this opportunity to come together, share your word, to focus our heart, soul, and mind on you. So fill us, Lord, with your spirit. Help us to truly seek your word and your will for us as we worship you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's gospel reading is a familiar one, and it comes from the book of John, the 19th chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who it will be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, and this again was to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Gospel of the Lord. It is finished. Boy, I'm sure that we all sit here today and through the last weeks, we can't wait to hear the words that this virus is finished. We don't know when that time will come. We know there are really brilliant people working on finding ways to treat this virus, ways to prevent us from having it again through a vaccine, different theories on how this virus will be defeated. Truth be known, we really don't know when it's finished. What we do know, though, is when Jesus spoke those words, "It was finished," it was not out of desperation. It was not out of giving up. It was not out of frustration. It was a triumphant, "This is finished." Picture it as, if you will, that word "finished" in the Greek is pronounced tetelestia, which means mission accomplished. Another way to put it, in the ancient world, tetelestia was the word that you would write across a bill after the last payment, meaning paid in full. or as the sound, as the song that we're familiar with, the verse in it says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Yes, my friends, Jesus paid it all. It is finished. There is no need for us to have despair. No need for us to live in fear. No need for us to question what is going on. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, says this. He said, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now more than ever, in my life and during this time, do we need the confidence to draw near to the only real throne of grace? For we desperately need to receive mercy and grace during this unprecedented time. Many of you I know would be sitting here in church with me this evening, and you would watch as the altar was stripped. And all that would be left would be standing the cross. You see, my friends, it is because of what Jesus did, not what we have done, not what we could do, and not what we should do. It is because of him and God's love for him through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ that we can even remotely think of approaching that crown. See, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. However, words could ever ring more true than they do this year. During these somber times, we are left looking to the cross. As Staupitz always would tell Luther, look to the cross. There's your answer. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.